Amen and amen. All right, I'll ask you again, church family. How are you? Are you well? Man, I'm doing good. I'm glad to see you people here. Glad that you came to worship today. Glad that we get to look once again at the letter of James from the Bible and see what God is speaking to us, saying to us today. Glad that many of you brought a friend with you today. It is just so good to have you in the room, and praise the Lord that you have joined us. If you got a Bible, and I hope that you do, James chapter 3 is where we'll be, James chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. It'll be on the screens here in just a little bit. And while you're turning there, let me just take the opportunity to brag on this guy right here. Trey preached to you last week from the beginning of James chapter 3. Evidently, some of you remember it. That's great, man. That no higher compliment can be paid. Trey spoke to us from the Bible about the power of the tongue, right? The words that we say and how hard it is to tame this instrument that God has given us and placed in our mouths that we use for the purpose of speaking. He reminded us of how nobody can tame the tongue, right? People have tamed all wild animals, and we've made these humongous ships and airplanes and whatnot that we can control with small control surfaces and rudders and whatnot, but no man has been able to tame the tongue. No woman has been able to tame the tongue. And Trey reminded us that nevertheless, it's still something that we should pursue. Learning how to control the words that come out of our mouths is something that we should pursue. But at the same time, if all you're doing is surface level correction of what your tongue says, you'll never get there. It's about transformation. See, God's going after your heart because, you remember this, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket, right? So change the well water, and what comes up in the bucket will be good. I'm very proud of Trey and very grateful for him and the message that he shared with us last week. Today, we get to keep it going. But before we do that, I do just want to give you a couple of announcements and celebration points because I don't think that you've celebrated enough today, all right? And listen, I know that when you come in here on a Sunday morning, there's so many of you coming from different places. Some of you are, man, you're beat up. Life's been tough. And things have not gone well this past week. You got sickness going on. You got family stuff going on. Life has hit you upside the head as it often does, right? I want you to know today that Jesus is still on his throne, okay? And if you are his friend and follower by faith, then hear me when I say this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's already gone before you. He's fought the war, and the war is won. So even when the battle looks bad, and it looks like we're going to lose, have confidence that you already know the ending. You know, it's like real different from watching a football game live, right? When your team is locked in a battle, and you don't know whether or not they're going to be able to pull it out or not pull it out. If you don't know the ending, you're insecure in the moment. But if you watch that game having already found out who the winner is, you can rest secure. Congrats, Alabama fans. Sorry, Auburn fans. And go Canes, you know? All right, having said that, I want us to read from the Bible in just a second, but I do want to celebrate a couple things with you. So let me give you an update. We are a, those of you that don't know this, this church is actually what's called a replant, all right? So about 17 months ago now, we relaunched as a church in partnership with a church down the road. And one of the things that we did together with them is we launched a capital fundraising campaign to try and fund the replant effort that we're doing here, all right? And so part of that is going to go to a renovation of a building that is on the backside of our property. I'll show it to you in just a couple moments and give you a progress update. And then some of it is going to different places as well. But let me give you an update on where we're at for Immeasurably More. I want to say, for those of you that are participating, good job. Keep going. If you've fallen behind, jump back on and let's keep on going together. But God's been really good to us. So in this capital fundraising campaign that we're doing as a church, along with our partner church down the road, we have 333 giving units represented. That's amazing. Great stuff. Total so far, we have given to this campaign $1,192,934. We're almost over 1.2. That's awesome. Good work. Thank you for your generosity. Now, left over with that is $447,817. And that's stuff that is yet to be given from what was pledged. So people said, we're going to give this much. They've still got another year to go in their giving. Now, pledged and all together, what we think we're going to have at the end of it is $1,640,752, and our goal is $1.8 million. So we're still kind of trusting God for that bottom number there. So keep it up. Good work. Now, here's the thing. This is dollars and cents. What this turns into is freedom and opportunity for a church to make moves, okay? And so a lot of the stuff that's changed and happened around here is because of the generosity of people giving to this, as well as your generosity when you just give your tithes and offerings and such. But I want to show you a little bit of progress that's been made so far on building number three. Now, I got it right this morning. I went out and took pictures today because stuff keeps changing so quickly. Kenneth is not building today, and so I figured I could get him with a current picture if I went out there. But you can see the addition to the building is coming together. What used to exist is just that metal building that's now being covered in stucco behind it. And so we've added on all of the stuff that is coming off the front and off of the side. And then I'm going to take you inside because I want you to start getting the video. Now, there's this fantastic lift right there in the middle, and I didn't trust myself to move that, and so I left it there. But anyway, you kind of get the idea of what this room is going to look like. That's the stage right there in the middle where we'll worship from and where I'll preach from in the not-too-distant future. We've got some rooms off to the side. That's the baptistry where we're going to do what we did this morning, and we're going to dunk some people under the water. It's just missing a tub, and don't worry, that'll get here eventually. And then I think I took another picture of the other side, so you can just kind of show the other two sections. That'll just be like for storage and a room there. All the rest of that floor space is going for chairs, right? And here's the reason. Because as a church, we've stated that our mission is to live for the next one to find and follow Jesus. Like, I love you guys. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope that you've found Jesus already. If you haven't, we're going to talk about how you can. And I hope that you're following Jesus and taking a next step after him all the time, right? But there's a whole lot of people in this community who are not in this room today. And it's not that they're not in this room because they're in another church's worship space. It's that they're not in any church's worship space. We've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people who need to find and follow Jesus. And so we want to make room for them to do so. So this will help us toward that end. That's ultimately why we're doing that project. And a huge shout out to Mr. Kenneth, who's managing it and overseeing it. It's just coming along so well, and I am so excited. When's it going to be done? That's the question that everybody wants to know. And I don't know. I probably need to have a revised conversation with Mr. Kenneth because he's moving faster than I thought he could. So anyway, I'll keep you updated on that. James chapter 2. Let's go to the Bible and see what God has to say. I said chapter 2. James chapter 3. Let's go to the Bible and see what God has to say to us today. All right? If you look with me, beginning in verse 13, I'm going to read. You can stay in your seats just this morning. I don't do that all the time, but today you can stay seated. Let me read from verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Here's what James says. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then it's peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Let me pray for us. Jesus, help us as we seek to look into your word today and gather what insight, what wisdom we need. I pray that you will bless your people by pouring out your wisdom on them today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you a name brand or a store brand kind of person? Name brand or store brand kind of person? Are you a person who has great expectations or someone who settles for great value, right? Are you somebody who likes Cheerios or Toasted O's? Are you a person who likes Mountain Dew or Thunder Mountain? I think it's actually Mountain Thunder, and the ride at Disney is Thunder Mountain. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Here's the last one that I found, and this is awesome, right? Are you a person who prefers hamburger helper? Or y'all aren't ready for it. You're not ready for it. Panburger partner. See, the difference in all of these things is, where do they come from? Where do they come from? The store brand, of course, comes from one place. The name brand comes from another place. The objective of the store brand is to compete at a cheaper value with the name brand. And the name brand oftentimes has a patent on the way that they produce their product such that the store brand can't quite keep up with the quality of the name brand. When I was a kid, we were store brand people, but we shopped at Publix because we were spiritual, right? And that was where mom wanted to shop. And so Publix brand oftentimes was as good as the name brand, but I also know that there's all sorts of different opinions about that. Why does that matter? Because today we're going to talk about wisdom that comes from two different places. And man, today, I want to set in your mind that the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that you and I can have from God, from the Bible, man, like, I know that hamburger helper is probably not your favorite dish. You probably haven't thought about it since the last time you had to have it, right? But anyway, I want you to think that as good as the true version of something can be, and as bad as panburger partner can be, man, that difference is even wider when it comes to the wisdom that God has to offer you versus the wisdom that you can get from here on earth. All right, so if you got some sermon notes and you're following along with me there, we'll fill in the blanks together and I'll comment as we march through this passage. First of all, number one on your notes is that true wisdom is demonstrated by good conduct. Good conduct. If you were to ask people today, how would you define wisdom? What is wisdom? Well, here's some things that I need you to know off the bat. Wisdom is not smarts. It's not the same thing. It's not general intelligence or facts, right? You can think of blue-collar people versus white-collar people, and one of those segments thinks that they're wiser, smarter than the other. You can think of A students versus C students, right? And one of those segments thinks that they are wiser or smarter than the other. It's not only for old people, wisdom, right? You know, the Bible talks a lot about like gray hairs on your head and how that's the crown of wisdom, right? Well, not necessarily. I mean, the Bible recognizes that people who have more experience in life are typically more wise than those who don't, but not always, right? And so it's not just for old people. It's not for boring people who have no clue how to have fun, right? Wisdom is not just the thing that belongs to the fuddy-duddy person who never goes out, never does anything enjoyable. No. And last, let me define it for you. Wisdom is right knowledge rightly applied. Right knowledge rightly applied. So it's not just knowing the things, it's actually applying the things that you know in order to move your life more in the direction of what God wants for you. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. So James asks this question at the beginning of the chapter. He says, who among you is wise and understanding? Now today, kind of in our setting, the vast majority of us would hesitate to raise our hand at that question, right? If I asked you to, let's raise our hands. Who among you is wise and understanding? You'd probably be like, I don't want my hand to go up, right? Now I see some kids pointing at their parents. That's great. Well done, mom and dad. You can probably think of somebody that you think is wise and understanding. Probably needs to be said that a lot of other kids were most definitely not thinking of their parents. But anyway, so you can think of people that are wise and understanding, but typically our tendency is to say, not me. I'm not. But here's the thing, church family. James wants us to say yes to that question. He wants you to be wise and understanding. The Bible wants you to be wise and understanding. There's an entire book devoted to it in the Old Testament. It's called Proverbs. And it's full of wise sayings that if you read them and apply them, you'll experience a life of wisdom. So James wants you to say yes. Well, let me talk to you for just a minute and teach if I can, because back in the time when James wrote this, there was a very popular style of wisdom that was coming out. If you've ever studied like, you know, ancient Greek or Roman philosophy, then you know what I'm talking about. There was actually a category of people, a group of people, they called themselves sophists, right? And sophists comes from the word sophos, okay, which just means wise. This is like for those of you that went through high school or college, if you remember your second year of high school or college, it's called your sophomore year. That's a combination of two Greek words working together, sophos for wise, and idios, I'm sorry, did I get that right? Moros, sorry, there we go, sophomore, moros for idiot, right? So in your second year of high school or college, you've got a little bit of knowledge, but not enough knowledge, so you think you know everything, but you don't know anything, they call you a wise idiot, all right? Anyway, these categories. So these people were the sophists, and what they did was they sat around throughout the day, and they thought great thoughts, and they talked about them. They thought good thinking was just taking complex theories, whether about the universe or about human behavior, about relationships, and thinking about them, and then being able to elaborate on them, talk about them, say things about them in complex ways. That's what made you a sophist, a wise person. And they'd sit and they'd teach throughout the day, and their students would sit on the ground around them, and they would listen to each other speak great thoughts, and they'd think to themselves, ah, what wisdom does my teacher have, right? There was another kind of wisdom that was going around at the time, and this is the kind that James wanted to press into the hearts of his people. See, James and the Bible, Hebrew or Christian wisdom, would have gone right against the approach of the sophists. It's not just saying wise things in a compelling way. It's not just thinking big thoughts. There's a life dynamic to wisdom. See, it's not just right thinking. It's not just right speaking. It's right living. And so, you know, you may read some of the Jewish wisdom literature and think to yourself, well, this isn't really all that deep. And the Bible would look back at you and say, exactly. So apply it. You know, it's written for people like you and people like me who, like, just say it simple, teacher, right? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And that's kind of what biblical wisdom aims for. If you ask the question today, how do you tell which wisdom is which? What's the good wisdom today? What's the bad wisdom, wisdom today? Well, here's what James would say. Check the fruit. Like, a bad apple tree produces rotten apples. A good apple tree produces good apples. There's exceptions to the rule, right? Those of you who know trees better than I do would be able to speak to some of that. But if you want to know whether something is healthy, godly, from the Lord or not, look at the fruit and inspect what comes out of it. So number two on your notes as we dive into this, James says, and I mean, you know, in true James fashion, just kind of a punch straight to the face, that false wisdom is demonic. It's from the demons. You know, this isn't the first time he's brought demons up. We talked about this a couple weeks ago where he discussed how the demons, but like he's talking to people who have faith, but their works don't show it. They don't have fruit from their faith, right? And he says, you believe that God exists and is one? Well, good job. So do the demons, right? And so here he is again. He's calling earthly wisdom demonic. He says in verse 14, if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition. Well, that's the fruit of earthly wisdom that James calls unspiritual and demonic. I'm going to break that down for you. Again, if you think about that group, the sophists who would sit around and they'd teach one another deep thoughts all throughout the day, what James does when he says earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, he's actually like, he's clapping back at them word for word, okay? So the sophists believe that matter, many of them did, believe that matter was bad, right? So like earthy things, those are bad. And that's why they would use their mind, because you can't see what's going on in the mind, right? So it feels like a spiritual realm that you can access with your mind, and they'd sit around and think. And that's how they would escape from the bad material version of the universe, right? James looks at them and he says, well, actually, your rocket is not getting off the launch pads, my friend. Your wisdom is earthy. It's material. What James knows is that the brain that's doing the thinking is still just a part of organic matter that God created, right? It's still set between skin and bone and blood and all that other kind of stuff, right? So you're not escaping. It's earthly. But not only that, it's unspiritual. Good try at escaping the material and getting to the spiritual, but you haven't gotten there because the spiritual is the realm of God, the creator of the universe. That's God's business. And you're still dealing with bone and flesh and matter. So it's unspiritual. But it's still worse than that. It's demonic. Like when you and I think of demons, we think of the spiritual realm. So this almost sounds like kind of a contradiction, right? Wait, how can it be unspiritual and demonic at the same time? Essentially, what I think James is saying is, well, they've got you right where they want you. Because you think that your wisdom is helping you escape the ordinary in this life. But it's actually not. You're still stuck on planet Earth, not thinking about your Creator, not thinking the thoughts that your Creator wants you to think. And who do you think is behind that train of thought? Well, it's the same one who's behind keeping people from coming to Jesus. The same powers and forces that are behind that battle that we have with the tongue. The same forces that are behind all the wicked, evil enterprises that exist on this planet today. Those who oppose God. Starting with the one who opposes him, Satan, and his allies, who we often call demons. And what James is saying to us is that when you engage with worldly wisdom, they've got you right where they want you. Let me step into today's world for you. Friends, be so careful. Be so careful. Because bad wisdom abounds today. You and I have instant, immediate, and amazing access to a world of thought and content that comes from an unspiritual, earthly, demonic realm. It's on YouTube, it's on TikTok, it's on Twitter, X, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's all over the internet. You don't have to go that far by it to find it, by the way. It's everywhere in your life as well. But on those, you know who I'm talking about. Like these folks, and I'm not saying all of them are bad. There's a whole bunch of good ones out there. But there's a whole career path now, right, where you can be a social media influencer, right? And if that person is not offering influence from a godly or a biblical perspective, then friends, what is it other than earthly, unspiritual, demonic? I'm not saying that you can't go on Instagram and watch a cooking video, right? And that for whatever reason the person has to explain to you their life story before they tell you how to, you know, make the thing that you want to make. I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's not where I'm going at all. And by the way, I use the internet like a lot, you know, just like all the rest of us. But I just need you to be so careful. Because if the influencers who are influencing you are not getting their influence from God, from the Bible, then friend, be so careful. And hey, can I step into your business a minute just for a second? Hey, parents, you've got a responsibility here. Protect your kids. Because there are people out there who want to disciple them. And if you're not doing it, those people will. All right? So I need you to hear me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you, be so careful. Be so careful about what you take in and what you let those who are in your house take in. If you look at the fruit, what comes? What does this wisdom produce? Well, so earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom that comes from below, it produces bitter envy and selfish ambition. So friend, hear me when I say this, believer, Christian. If bitterness and selfish ambition and envy characterize the content that's in your heart, man, you need to check yourself, because the wisdom that you have is not coming from the Lord. Look into your heart, friend, and ask the question, what's the content? What's the fruit? We'll talk more about that in just a minute when we get to the wisdom that comes from the Lord. See, this kind of wisdom comes in bulk, but it doesn't come from the right provider. You remember the question that I asked you at the beginning, name brand, store brand, right? This is the store brand, and it's not the Publix brand. It's the, you know, we're talking the lowest of the low. This is not what you want to fill your mind, not what you want to fill your life. James says that from this kind of wisdom comes disorder and every evil practice. All right, let me ask the question again. What's the fruit of your life? Your parenting? Does it lead to every evil kind of practice? In your teaching? In your friendship? In your workplace? What's the fruit of your life? Is it disorder and every evil kind of practice? Or is it something better than that? This, if you look at the world around us, including the conversations that our leaders have and the way that we engage on social media frequently, then, man, you can see that earthly wisdom abounds. It's everywhere, right? Never seen so many people get so mad about a little town growing up, adding some new buildings, expanding some traffic lanes, or maybe not expanding traffic lanes where traffic lanes need to be expanded. But again, I say all this to say, like, look around you, friends. What's the fruit of the wisdom that most people are operating with? It's disorder in every evil practice. So if you and I are going to do it differently, then we need to make a change in where we get our wisdom. Because earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom comes from below. But there is another wisdom, and that's number three on your notes, that godly wisdom comes from above. Here's how you can know if you've got real wisdom, or if you're watching a video and you're thinking, is this good thinking? Is this good wisdom? Should I apply this to my life? Here's what you should ask. Does it come from above? Can I find this in the Bible? Can I find this as God's instruction? Or is this just something that somebody made up? Does this come from biblical teaching or not? And then after you've asked that question and you say, well, I think it comes from God, right? I think that this direction that I'm thinking about going, or this relationship that I'm thinking about pursuing, or this career path that I have in front of me and how I'm navigating this space, I think it comes from the Lord. Well, then the results. Look at what it produces, right? Check the fruit, like I said earlier. Here's what James says about the wisdom that comes from above. First of all, it's pure. In a religious kind of sense, and I don't mean religion in the bad way there, I mean religion just in like the good way, like the practices that you do as you seek to follow God. In a religious sense, is the thinking that goes on in your mind pure? Is it holy? Does it honor God? If you stood before God and your brain was an open book, which it is all the time, by the way, then would he be pleased? Hey, if not, then there's some correction that needs to happen. By the way, let me just say so that it doesn't sound like I'm up here talking to you guys about stuff that's not a real life struggle for me. Man, this is like, I couldn't think of a way that James could have started the list worse. Is my wisdom pure? No, not all the time. Is my thinking pure? No, not all the time. It's not. And you're a liar if you say that yours is. But this is where the Lord wants us to start. It's with purity, because you get purity by placing yourself in the sight of God and living your life as if every step you took, he's standing right there watching you. Every action that you make, he's standing right there watching you. Because, by the way, friend, he is. And he's not watching you as this judgmental heavenly super figure who hates you. No, if you're a child of his by faith in Jesus Christ, he's watching you as a proud heavenly father. That doesn't mean that he wants you to run into the street and do stupid stuff. No, he wants your wisdom to be pure, ritually clean. Is your wisdom peace-loving? Do you love to spread peace or spread dissension? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit convict you about how much you do or do not engage with stuff that's on social media. But please, friend, let me say this one thing about it. If it doesn't do you any good to remind yourself that you represent the Lord God when you're on social media, then please remember that you represent Quarry Church when you're on social media, okay? And the way that we make an impression around us matters. It really, really does, okay? Do you promote peace? Is your wisdom gentle? Dads, let me talk to you for just a second. Or anybody of you who play that role. And again, it's not fun for me, by the way, to teach this, you know. James chapter 3, the passage that Trey was preaching last week, when he says at the beginning, not many of you should be teachers, brothers and sisters, because teachers are going to be held to a higher standard of judgment. Then I read this next part, and he's like, hey, the wisdom that comes from above is pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle. Dads, are you gentle with your kids at home? You know, not just when they behave really well, because it's easy to be gentle when they behave really well. Are you gentle when they behave like people who lack wisdom? Fools, also known as. Are you gentle? This next word, compliant, that the Christian Standard Bible translates, it sounds like the word tolerant. Like it sounds like this wisdom is accepting of whatever, but I need you to know that that's not the case. If you look just a couple words later, James says this wisdom is also unwavering, right? So how can those two things fit together? When we say that wisdom that comes from above is compliant, what we mean is that it's accommodating of what God accommodates. You know, there's a lot of diversity in the body of Christ. There's people who look different, who talk different, who live different. There's people who think that one thing is okay, and another group of Christian people who would look at that and say, that's not okay. You know, there's a lot of diversity in the body of Christ. But what God is accepting of, the wisdom from above looks at and says, hey, you need to be compliant with your brothers and sisters in the faith. Let me tell you, friends, we could, if I just sat every single one of you down and asked you in front of everybody to share your opinion on every matter of Christian living, we could divide this church into about 30 other churches, maybe more, without much thought. Like, it wouldn't be hard. But the wisdom that comes from above says, hey, no, I want you to be compliant with one another as far as God is compliant with you. Does that make sense? I'm going to come back in a second here and talk about unwavering. The wisdom that comes from above is full of mercy and good fruits, right? It loves to rejoice with forgiveness when people don't get what they deserve. That's mercy, you know? And the wisdom that comes from above rejoices in that. The wisdom that comes from above then is unwavering. Hey, a lot of us get this one wrong. The call here is to take what this book teaches and hold the line. There are a lot of people in our world today who want to give up the line in so many different ways from what this book teaches. And listen, I know that the Bible has some stuff in it that it is hard to understand, and it's complicated, and it can be really frustrating to look at it and be like, man, God does not accept me for who I am. But I'm trying to tell you that the wisdom that comes from above is unwavering. So even when, even when faith is a wrestling match, and by the way, believer, it is and it will be, even when faith is a wrestling match, hold the line. Don't give up. Don't bail out on God just because he said something that you disagree with. Don't bail out on your faith just because you don't like what the Bible teaches about one or two particular topics. Hold the line. And if you've got questions, then talk to somebody about it. Talk to your pastor, talk to your group leader. I know that me or Trey would be happy at any point to welcome you in and have a conversation about the hard things that this book teaches. There will be times when I look at you and I say, yeah, I think I can give you an answer that'll maybe help with that. There will be other times when I look at you and I say, friend, I don't know either. When we get there one day, let's ask him together. After we finish with like the awe and amazement and worship and all that other kind of stuff, you know, let's ask him. Last, the Bible says, James says that the wisdom that comes from above is without pretense. That means it's not fake, Christians. Be careful here, man, because it's so easy to walk up in here on Sunday mornings and act one way when you know that is so different from who you were Monday through Saturday. So listen, here's the thing. I would love for you to clean up your Monday through Saturday. Trust me, I would. But I'd love for me to clean up my Monday through Saturday as well. No, what I want you to do different is don't be afraid to bring the mess that you are Monday through Saturday in here to church on Sunday. Man, that's what's going to lead you to recognize the awesome work of God in your life, to recognize the grace that he has for you when you mess up, to recognize the mercy that he constantly showers on you, the strength that he supplies you with, so that, you know, yeah, you messed up once or twice, but man, by God's grace, you're not done fighting yet. You're still back up and in the battle, right? So don't come in here with pretense. Don't fake it. Don't act like you've got the wisdom from above when you don't. James says the last line, which is kind of confusing, that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Here's the thing. What James wants us to do is sow right living in a peaceful, gracious way. That means he wants us to bring other people around us so that we can teach them how to have the wisdom that comes from above. You may not know everything, but you know a couple of things. Listen, if I heard it said this way, this is just about one thing in particular, like about evangelism, about trying to share your faith with other people. Hey, if you know enough to believe it, you know enough to share it, right? So when it comes to wisdom and living a godly life, right, living a righteous life, if you know enough to live it, then you know enough to share it. Look for those opportunities where you can sow the fruit of righteousness in peace. Because where peace abounds, righteousness abounds. You and I desperately need wisdom. We need it. We need wisdom for knowing how to carry out our daily life, how to go to work, how to do a good job. We need wisdom for our parenting, how to raise our kids. We need wisdom for our marriages, how we can relate with our spouse. We need wisdom for our dating relationships, how and when it's time to get married and what all that should look like. We need wisdom for the way that we live out our Christian faith. We need wisdom. The good news is, friends, James, as he writes his book in the Bible, doesn't leave you without hope, because you may have missed this sermon, but if you go back to chapter 1, he says, does any of you lack wisdom? To which all of us in the room should be like, yes. Here's what he says to do. Ask. Ask God for it. So here's what we're going to do. The worship team is going to come up, and they're going to close this out with a song of praise that we'll all join our voices and sing. But right now, in this moment, I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to invite you to ask God for wisdom. I don't know what that prayer will sound like in your own heart, but it just wants you to be straight up with him and tell him where you lack wisdom. God, I lack wisdom in my parenting. I lack wisdom in my relationships. I lack wisdom at work. Lord, would you give me wisdom? James says that's a prayer that God loves to answer. So pray that right now in this moment. Ask God for wisdom. Now listen, if you're in this room today and you don't yet have that relationship restored with your Heavenly Father by faith in Jesus Christ. Whether you're a grown person, an old person, or a young person, it doesn't matter. If you don't yet have that relationship with your Heavenly Father, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, then friend, the path to the wisdom that comes from above is blocked to you. So what I want to do is invite you in this moment to ask Jesus not for wisdom, but to ask him to save you. To ask him to move and operate in your heart. To ask him to show you the path of surrender that leads to freedom, that leads to the life that you were meant to live, meant the person that you were meant to be. And Father, I want to thank you for meeting us in this time. I want to thank you for the work that you're doing in our church. And I want to praise you because you're the God who hears us when we call to you. Lord, every person in this room who called to you for salvation, you heard it. And you acknowledge it. And you bless each of your children with the confidence to know that when Jesus died on the cross, that counted for me. So help us to hold fast to that today. Lord, your word also tells us that you rejoice to answer the prayer for wisdom and that you give it to all of us without discrimination. I pray that today you would bless your children, your people, with wisdom that comes from above, supernatural wisdom. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.